Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like wake up, brush teeth. Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We continue to look back on the Week 10 NFL Sunday slate in all of our reactions. Now that the second half is underway. Don't worry, New York Jets. Your time is going to come here in the next few minutes as we like to poke fun and have some fun here on TEL. We'll recap the second weekend of November in college football, week number 11, with how significant each and every Saturday gets in the final month of this regular season. And then we will preview the end of week 10 in the NFL, Monday Night Football in Los Angeles between the Rams and the Dolphins. All of that DRS in our second hour here on this Monday.
Yeah, long way to go. Love Mondays. You know, the energy is always high from the exciting Saturday college football, the Sunday football, NFL slate, Monday night football. We'll get you ready for tonight, which does have some juice we can get ready for. And also, coming Thursday night, that new NFL week is going to come so quickly here because the Philadelphia Eagles are going to take on the Washington Commanders. But we do have a lot more blasting to do of what we saw yesterday, which does include those New York Jets that not only hurt my feelings, they hurt my wallet yesterday. Can't have that.
Yes, they certainly did. And now maybe we hurt their feelings because,
yes.
Again, I'm just going to be laughing the entire time. The New York Jets were a slight road favorite yesterday on the road in Glendale, Arizona against the Cardinals. And yet again, we expected gangrene to win a football game they must have. Donnie, entering yesterday, they were still 3-6. Their season was a long shot to try to resurrect it and get to the postseason. But a great second half on a short week Thursday night game at home against the Texans maybe gave just a little bit of belief that the Jets would figure this thing out. No, never, not going to happen, as the Cardinals absolutely drub the Jets yesterday at home in the desert, 31-6. Arizona wins its fourth consecutive game. Arizona wins outright as a short home underdog of 1.5. And in this four-game win streak, the Cardinals have overcome the odds expectation to win outright as an underdog in three of those four wins. The New York Jets never overcome expectation. They falter on even the most minimal expectation each and every single week. So maybe all you can do is laugh, and if you are a Jets fan or backer, maybe you smile through the pain because the season is now officially kaput.
It is officially kaput, and that helps out some other teams too, like the Cincinnati Bengals, which we'll get to a little bit later. If we're looking at Arizona Cardinals yesterday, how impressive is this? They now sit 6-4 on the season, and Jonathan Gannon's got a good thing going. This is a young team that we weren't sure what they would factor in. Okay, Kyler Murray's going to be back for a full season. He's been really good. James Conner, I have no idea how he escaped Pittsburgh at this point. He is phenomenal in the backfield and also catching passes here. You have a young wide receiver, Marvin Harrison, continues to improve, catches a touchdown pass yesterday. One of the best young tight ends in football in Trey McBride. Now, let's focus. That's enough on the Cardinals with a 31-point victory, which is easy. You tell me yesterday the Cardinals scored 31 points. I'm like, yeah, pencil in the Jets for at least 28-plus points, and they probably won the football game. They were horrendous on offense. And it almost doesn't compute until you think about what's going on. The offensive line that we tried that they tried to rebuild is an absolute sieve. It's horrendous. You have two really good tailbacks in here. One explosive, one can get you the short yardage. You have two Pro Bowl-caliber wide receivers in Garrett Wilson and also taking a look at Davante Adams coming over. But where's the speed on this offense? Forget about the running back position, which Hall does have some speed. Garrett Wilson's not a deep threat. Davante Adams isn't necessarily a deep threat. You have tight ends that are insignificant, and the play calling on Aaron Rodgers, who can't move nearly as well as he did just 3 years ago before that Achilles injury. You're calling five wide receiver sets where nobody can win off the line of scrimmage. And the minute you get Aaron Rodgers off his spot, the play is over. Remember all those plays in Green Bay, Ben, that he would make where it's like, you know what? He avoids two pass rushers, steps aside, in the flick of a wrist, it's 30 yards downfield to Jordy Nelson or a younger version of Davante Adams. That's completely gone.
Yeah.
They are a horrendous offense, and the blueprint is out. If they go with a five wide out set or one tight end and nobody to chip the pass rushers, just bring an extra blitzer. You will smash that pocket every time and nobody's going to win. And you know what the biggest thing I saw yesterday was? Nobody's on the same page. How many quick sight adjustment plays did Aaron Rodgers have where he threw to nobody? And I'm talking about, Ben, where the guy went left and you threw right. I went long, you went short. I went short, you went long. It was a disgrace. It was almost like the Jets didn't even prepare for this football game. And we weren't talking about going on the road and beating Kansas City. It was the Cardinals, who are a good football team, that embarrassed you every step of the way.
22 of 35 for 151 yards. And did not throw a touchdown. That was Aaron Rodgers. 4.3 yards per attempt. All right, how about Breece Hall and the young and talented Braylon Allen? 79 rushing yards. If it's Todd Downing calling the plays or Aaron Rodgers making the offensive game plan or Nathaniel Hackett now up in the booth or interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich, it does not matter. The season is over. And you did this to yourself, Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas, Aaron Rodgers. You invested in a 40-year-old quarterback who is more concerned about darkness retreats than winning football games. Well, the darkness is in front for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Donnie, I've said this so many times. You see the updated outlook, 6.5. Their playoff price entering week number 10 was plus 390 because of the win at home against Houston. It's plus 710. A 13-year playoff drought for New York, by far the longest in the NFL, is going to reach 14 consecutive seasons. Have the Jets set themselves back because of all the investment into Aaron Rodgers and letting him wear the pants and make all of those critical decisions? Perhaps not. Set themselves back from what? Again, they have not made the postseason in 13 straight years. But this year plus with Aaron Rodgers is going to be looked at as an absolute disaster. And I'm not sure what lays ahead in 2025, but if I were the Jets, I would draft a quarterback and end this at the end of 2024. That would be it. See you later. Devontae, thanks for being here for a couple of years. Sorry we wasted draft capital on you. Be done with it now because the experiment failed mightily for gangrene.
And the best part about it is they can't escape it, Ben, because you're on the hook for another monster year next year of guaranteed money for Aaron Rodgers. It's almost like they have to keep the band back together. But also, you see all this time we're taking a look, spending this on Aaron Rodgers and that offense. This defense that is supposed to be elite, top 10 at the low bar, top five, maybe even the best. Look at that. Every single position they can win at, pass rusher, linebacker, secondary, they are an absolute sieve. And thank goodness you fired Robert Saleh, who was the captain of that defense, and they're actually playing decent defensive football. It's completely fallen through. I don't know who wants to take over this job because it will be rebuilding, but make no mistake about it. They are so in right now, Ben, you can't even make those moves in the offseason to improve your team. You're probably capped out. You can't get rid of the quarterback. If you draft a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is going to isolate that guy and probably try to make him quit within 3 months like he does to every backup quarterback that he has. Healthy organization, it ain't the Jets.
Certainly not, Donnie. Now let's highlight a healthy organization in Arizona. The Cardinals with Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of last year as their head coach, an underdog in 24 of 27 games, 14-10 against the spread. And now they have won outright three times in the last four games. Four-game win streak. The Cards are 6-4, two games above 500. The Jets, meanwhile, as we said, just 3-7 and 3-4 straight up as a favorite. Again, when the odds expected them to win. Kyler Murray, three total touchdowns yesterday. James Conner, 113 total yards and a score as well. Arizona remains in the top spot of the NFC West at 6-4. Other Sunday scores. Donnie, you mentioned unhealthy organizations. The Chicago Bears are exactly that. The New England Patriots go into Soldier Field and win 19-3. Outright as a 6.5-point underdog. The Bears have now lost three in a row, including both of the games after the Hail Mary in Landover. Caleb Williams looks absolutely lost, only 10 games in to his NFL career. 16 of 30 for a buck 20 yesterday. Donnie, we'll talk about this on the other side,
yeah,
because we've probably got an hour until we need to make sure we are staying atop of the breaking news. Because if Matt Eberfluser sees another day in the Windy City, the Bears are done for a long time. We'll talk about it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We close out our recap of the NFL Week 10 Sunday slate live right here on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. DRS, I said it before the break. The Patriots go into Soldier Field and beat the Bears outright as a 6.5-point underdog, 19-3. Caleb Williams, 16 of 30 for 120 yards. The Bears, including the Hail Mary in Landover, have now lost three straight games, but yesterday was their first home loss in the Windy City. There is no question, Donnie, that this team, this organization, has quit on the head coach, Matt Eberfluser, and they need to make a coaching change on this Monday. Will they? The McCaskey family, that's a different story, but that is what should happen at Soldier Field.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, Grandma Bear, who owns the football team, probably comes in, you know, gives a little, "Oh, Matt, you're such a good little boy out there. Congratulations, the way you coach this football team. I'm never going to fire you at this point." Stop the man this year, Chicago. Like, let's be honest. I used to always have this running, like, joke where if you just let your fan base actually pick your first-round draft pick, they will outdraft the ownership group and the front office in that first round. There is not a single soul, Ben, on this planet that said last year, this was the primo job in all of sports, saying, if I can be the head coach of the Chicago Bears and get a generational talent like Caleb Williams and a team that's actually investing in getting some wide receivers, the upswing is going to be tremendous. But never calling guys like Jim Harbaugh and saying, we're going to bring Eberflus back and Shane Waldron is going to be offensive coordinator. Nobody agreed with that move, and nobody is surprised that it's burning right now for the Chicago Bears. It doesn't surprise me because of how bad that ownership group is, but what do you want, Ben? It's one of the few things in this world where you're in a city that big with only one football team. That town loves football. They will buy the tickets. They will buy the merchandise, and they will believe every single year, and the Bears organization has to do nothing because those fans will always be there. They're not suckers. They just love football and they have hope, and they're getting no hope in Chicago right now. It's an embarrassment, that team.
You feel bad for the Chicago sports fans because the fan bases in the ownership group, they don't really see alike.
No.
And of course, because of Papa Bear, George Halas and Virginia Halas McCaskey. By the way, reportedly I missed you pinching your own cheek as I was looking down and
did not know
we would get it.
Oh, Donnie, you got such a good show there with that guy named Ben. Like, that's what your grandma would do to you when you go see her on Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know?
That was really good, my man. That was very, very good. George McCaskey is the chairperson. He is the son of Virginia. It is a lost organization. They need to make the call now because at a certain point, even if you have a fan base that is this invested, owner ignorance will make your fan base not care. And that is what you are teetering on right now with the Bears and spoiling and wasting the promising young talent of Caleb Williams and, frankly, a roster around the quarterback spot that should be contending for playoff spots in deep postseason runs. We shall see. Again, if it might happen in the next hour, we learned Dennis Allen was canned around this point last week. We shall see. Elsewhere, DRS, around the NFL.
By the way, Ben, real quick,
Vikings
real quick on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick on that topic, Matt Eberflus is actually scheduled to speak today at 10:45, and Waldron on Thursday. So let's see if he makes it to the press conference. He's probably safe, so we'll put the cutoff there. I mean, that's probably Central Time, right? So 2 hours, we'll know.
Yeah. Maybe in the money line. That'd be a good time. Yeah. And then for me on Football Full Circle to dive right in. DRS, elsewhere around the NFC North, the Vikings win a very ugly game yesterday in Jacksonville, 12-7, writing on the wall perhaps for Doug Peterson as well. The Vikings were a 7.5-point road favorite in Duval. They win only by 5. They didn't score an offensive touchdown. The two quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Mac Jones, combined for 5 interceptions. The Jaguars compiled just 143 total yards. Minnesota wins to get to 7-2. It wasn't great, though, for the Vikings yesterday.
No, it wasn't great. But, Maggie, thank goodness you're playing against Mac Jones. I don't know how that guy won at Alabama, how that guy actually was drafted high into the NFL. He is horrendous. But you know what? Sam Darnold tried to out-horrendous Mac Jones yesterday by throwing 3 touchdowns. It was one of those games, Ben, you say, if we just didn't pass the football, we'd probably win and cover this game. But since Sam Darnold looks like he's regressing right in front of our eyes, it's pretty impressive to watch because Aaron Jones, 17 carries, 80 yards. By the way, I think he got injured yesterday, if I'm wrong. I didn't get a chance to watch that game early on. So hopefully he came back in good. So Joe Friesen updated that good. So he did come back in there. So I didn't want to have it all doom and gloom for the Vikings. Yes, they got the win. Yeah. No, it wasn't impressive. But how much longer is this charade going on in Jacksonville? Because it looks like Trevor Lawrence isn't coming back. And if it's Mac Jones, I'm not so sure Doug Peterson doesn't resign. Like, look, man, I won a Super Bowl. I got plenty of money. I don't even need the money anymore. Just get me the hell out of here.
The Jags are now 2-8. Again, they cover, but really, who cares? John Parker Romo, again, field goal kicking, a huge story of Sunday, drills all 4 field goals for Minnesota. Yeah, John Parker, man, good stuff. Sam Darnold is regressing in front of our eyes, by the way. 6 touchdowns to 6 INTs in the last 4 games. Minnesota, of course, opened up the year undefeated, a perfect 5-0, 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions in those first 5 victories. The final 2 games, Donnie, not sure you take much from it. The Chargers do what the Chargers do. They win by double digits against a bad Titans team. Covering is a 7.5-point home favorite. Just the second over of the year for LA. They have gone under in 7 of 9 games. But Jim Harbaugh wins, man. He takes over programs and organizations. And there's not necessarily a grace period. LA is now 6-3 straight up. And the Carolina Panthers in overtime in Munich in our final international game of the season. Eddie Pinheiro, 36-yard game-winning field goal in OT because the Giants fought their way back. They were down double digits in the fourth quarter. Tyrone Tracy had a great day in regulation in the extra session, on the first offensive play. As New York got the ball first, as Donnie said, he was stripped. First 2-game win streak for the Panthers since November and December of 2022.
Congratulations, Giants fans. You got the loss that you wanted. Daniel Jones will be gone soon. Hopefully, Brian Daboll's fired. And the best part about it is you were done by noon yesterday. You got to go out and enjoy the day. Giants fans, big winners yesterday. Absolutely.
Kind of true. The silver linings available. College football recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second Saturday in November, it's the final month of the college football regular season in 2024. And as Donnie Wrightside, Pro Expansion, knows very well, after the first college football playoff rankings, and you see how the committee is viewing the entirety of your resume and your year so far, you understand how much ground you might have to make up to now be in the first ever 12-team field, or how much wiggle room you have or do not entering the final few weekends of this college football season. And that was amplified DRS on a significant Saturday, once again in the SEC. The biggest win of the Lane Kiffin era in Oxford. Ole Miss at home in the Grove as a slight 2.5-point home underdog on a rainy and sloppy and wet Saturday. Triumphs over Georgia, 28-10. Ole Miss has been an elite defense all year long. They put that on display in a big way against the Bulldogs, turning Georgia over three times. Carson Beck, once again, multiple turnovers, which he has had in all four games Georgia has seen this year, is less than a 2-touchdown favorite. And Ole Miss wins a huge one at home to keep their season afloat, already with multiple losses, 28-10 over UGA.
Look, weather conditions, that should be right up Georgia's alley here, Ben. No? Like, you take a look at sloppy, rainy here. We're going to play great defense, run the football, and just beat the heck out of your passing game. 28-10. That should have been a Georgia victory, 28-10. But Georgia, no fluke. The better team on that field yesterday was, or Saturday, was Ole Miss. It wasn't even close. Jackson Dart, 199 in the air, one touchdown interception. Very pedestrian, but making plays with his feet when needed. 8 carries for 50 yards. The better defense and the better football team was on Ole Miss's side yesterday. Never would have heard me say that before. And yes, it was a slight upset overall. But I would have thought Georgia could have walked into Ole Miss and said, you know what? We're the better team, the better defense, and the better pedigree. Not the case. Congrats, Ole Miss. Big win for Lane Kiffin, which is something you don't say all that much.
Yeah, you really don't, DRS. 7-9 straight up against ranked foes during his time at Ole Miss. Better than his overall career record against ranked foes as a collegiate head coach. But a huge, huge victory. Jackson Dart, who wasn't great either, injured early, came back and gutted it out. And again, Ole Miss's defense doing exactly what it needed. They entered Saturday, Donnie, facing 645 snaps on the defensive side of the football this season. Third most among a Power Four conference program because of how quickly Ole Miss likes to play offensively. They were only allowing 4.4 yards per play. That was fourth best. Every other team in the country that had been on the field for more than 600 plays was allowing more than 4.8 yards per pop. That is how good Ole Miss had been, and we saw that on display against Georgia. The first loss for the Bulldogs since the middle portion of 2020. Donnie, since that time, the middle portion of that 2020 season, 53-3 straight up for Georgia. All three losses against the same program in Alabama. First loss for the Bulldogs against a non-Alabama team in a very, very long time. Speaking of the Crimson Tide, slight road favorite in a night game inside Tiger Stadium. That does not often lead to results for the road team. It did in a huge way on Saturday. Roll Tide indeed. Alabama absolutely paced LSU inside Tiger Stadium, 42-13, easily covering as a 2.5-point road favorite.
I'd like to hear be a fly on the wall in Brian Kelly this week where you say, okay, defensive coordinator, we couldn't stop a running quarterback for Texas A&M. Great, we have a week to get ready and prepare because we should be able to handle Milrow knowing what's coming here. 12 carries, not 20, 12 carries, 185 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And some of these plays, Ben, you were watching going like, you know the quarterback draw is coming and basically going untouched the distance multiple times. Milrow was absolutely sensational in a rainy environment where it looked like he was the only one that had cleats that weren't allowing him to be slip and sliding across the field. 42-13, an absolute pasting of LSU at night in Baton Rouge. That never happens. Close losses, yes, might happen time to time. 42-13, that's flat out embarrassing, and that does probably end LSU's season of hoping to get into the playoffs.
Three losses now for the Bayou Bengals. Three ranked SEC foes. Garrett Nussmeier, 8 interceptions in total in those three games. Jalen Milroe, in his 2 starts against LSU last year, 155 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. This year, 185 and 4 touchdowns. Here are the updated outlooks for those SEC contenders. SEC odds, Alabama the best price of everybody. Ole Miss does have 2 conference losses, but you see the CFP odds. Ole Miss and Alabama in a good spot. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Donnie Wrightside, the time has come. 5 FBS programs entered week 11 in the second Saturday of November in this college football campaign. Perfect, undefeated, including Miami at 9-0 for the first time since 2017. No longer an 0, but a 1 as the Canes went into Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech at Bobby Dodd as an 8.5-point road favorite and come out on the losing end outright. We'll talk about the Bees and how good Brent Key and the Yellow Jackets have been as an underdog in his tenure. But Georgia Tech wins outright, 28-23. Miami has been playing with fire the last month in ACC competition. In fact, the last month and a half, trailing in second halves, trying to pull off their 4th double-digit second half comeback of the season against Georgia Tech, unable to come all the way back. How are you feeling about your Hurricanes that the Cardiac Canes kind of came and went on Saturday?
Yeah, it wasn't a good effort there, but still everything is still in front of them here in a down ACC. They probably should still be able to get to the ACC championship game and win that and head into the playoff. Then you'll see what you have at that point, maybe just trying to enjoy some football. Would have been nice to see them go unbeaten, but you're right. You play with fire too many times, and the issue has never been the offense. Cam Ward has been absolutely sensational, and you can argue that Miami might be a 500 football team if Cam Ward doesn't step and just get average quarterback play. He's been nothing short of sensational. The question has always been the defense, and this is a tough loss because Canes King doesn't play in this game. Miami probably wins this one, but he did play. But also, it's not as if Haynes King is a Heisman Trophy winning throwing quarterback that goes, hey, he averages 450 yards a game. You just can't stop him. Sometimes I just don't understand the game flow of a team where you know they're running the football. Why do you have safeties 13, 15 yards back? Why are cornerbacks playing 10 yards off the wide receiver? It should be 8 men in the box close to the line of scrimmage saying, if you're going to beat us in the air, do it. We don't think you can do that. 48 carries for 271 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the crime of this was, when you watch, it was like, when Haynes King was in, they're not passing the ball. When Philo comes in, they're passing the ball. It's like the easiest structure to have, but they played the same game plan for both of the quarterbacks, which was idiotic. Oh, 3rd and 18. Oh, look, maybe they're going to run. No, they're not running the football. Philo's in the game. They just couldn't defend, and eventually it caught up to him.
And Donnie, that was why, although I love what Brent Key has done in Atlanta, and I know the stats of how great the Bees are as an underdog, as we saw displayed in the Dublin debut against Florida State, they hadn't covered in 3 consecutive games as a dog because of the injury uncertainty around Haynes King. And I thought even if Haynes plays, and he did, he would be limited because it was a shoulder injury, and they would have to run it with Jamal Haynes, who got injured early in the opening quarter after a blast to start on the ground for Georgia Tech. And then that's where Miami struggled because they entered the game, DRS, as one of the best rushing defenses and one of the elite fronts in college football, allowing just 95 yards per game, as you alluded to, 271 yards on the ground. Cam Ward was good, 348 and 3 touchdowns, but a strip sack at the end as some of that Miami comeback magic did wear off. First loss for the Canes. And just quickly on Brent Key, back as the head coach at his alma mater, took over as the interim head man midway through 2022. In the 31 total games he has coached at Georgia Tech, they have been an underdog 20 occasions. They are 14-6 against the spread as a dog. Outright victories 11 times, the most outright wins as an underdog of any FBS program since the start of the 2022 season. Now, Miami is going to be okay. It is a tough loss late in the year, but they are still in pole position in the ACC. The thing that took the biggest hit, perhaps DRS, was Cam Ward's Heisman price. He entered the weekend a co-favorite alongside Colorado's Travis Hunter. Now Hunter, a short solo favorite at plus 120.
Yeah, the interesting part about that is Cam Ward doesn't play defense. Like, you lose your ranking because you threw for basically 350 and three touchdowns trying to come back in a victory that you didn't get. I can't fault it. It's just the way it plays out, because those extracurriculars that we take a look at is you get the benefit of the doubt when you continue to lead these comebacks and get those extra points. And Travis Hunter has been sensational this year nonetheless. They get a big victory on the road. He scores a touchdown, was impressive all the way through. I don't have any issue with that. It's just a shame because he doesn't play defense. Like, if Miami wins that game 23-20, he's the leader in the clubhouse now to win it all. But the fact that the defense couldn't stop anybody, he gets penalized. But you can't get upset. That's just the way it always goes.
Yeah, I would agree, DRS, with what you are saying there. Cam Ward has been great, and Miami is still more than likely going to play in the ACC championship game. And maybe this was the game that Mario Cristobal can look at his program and say, hey, all that energy that you guys would display to be the cardiac canes in those second half comebacks, let's do it from the very start. Because they seemed unprepared on Saturday in Atlanta. You know what head coach does never struggles with getting his team prepared? That's Kurt Cignetti in the Indiana Hoosiers. For the first time in 137 seasons of the football program's history in Bloomington, the Indiana Hoosiers have won 10 games in a year, and they have done so in only 10 games. 10 Windiana holding on at the end to beat Michigan 20-15. The first time for IU this season, any of their victories did not come by at least two touchdowns. But as we say, and we highlighted with the Lions, championship caliber teams find multiple different ways to win. Indiana did that on Saturday, holding on and outlasting the Wolverines.
I can't wait. I think it was it Michigan that we used to joke with? Was it last year, the year before? They haven't played anybody since November. This is the greatest schedule in the history of football. That, hey, Indiana, you actually open your season this weekend against Ohio State. Like, I don't know what we were watching, but if you could compare it to getting your team ready to play your opponent, it's like playing a bunch of corpses. You ever watch Michael Jackson's Thriller video where they're dancing in the background as all like zombies? That's who you played this year for Indiana. Credit them for winning those games, but just doing a little bit of like research on this. UCLA 3-4 in conference play. Maryland 1-5. Northwestern 2-4. Nebraska 2-4. Washington 3-4. Michigan State 2-4. Michigan 3-4. This AD, you know, sometimes when you capitalize on it, get out of Indiana right now. You get any job you want in the country saying, look, I rebuilt this football program, I'll rebuild yours too, because the going is going to get much tougher starting this weekend. They are undefeated. You can only play the schedule you have. But once again, that AD, damn genius, man. Really is.
So, again, I will say, right, we know what the strength of schedule has been for the Hoosiers this year. It will come to a head not this weekend, but next weekend in Columbus against Ohio State. Indiana has opened as a 9.5-point underdog. The strength of schedule right now for IU is 100. The remaining strength of schedule is 8. And sure, everybody should be 10-0 with this schedule. Not everybody should have an average margin of victory north of 30 points per game or cover in 7 of the 9 booked as a favorite in every single game. The game against Michigan is the only game that Indiana even remotely eked by, but I would call it a quality win against a resilient Michigan team who's got a lot of issues, by the way, with Sherrone Moore trying to figure out his game management decisions. Indiana is 10-0. It is historic. The Holy War for the 102nd time in Salt Lake on Saturday night, and a controversial ending between BYU and Utah. Indiana, one of the four remaining undefeated teams. BYU remains a walk-off field goal to win it 22-21. There was a controversial defensive holding call in the final 2 minutes on a 4th and 10 for the Cougs deep in their own territory that led to Utah's AD absolutely blasting the officials after the game. He got fined and he looked idiotic because the replays of the call came out and it was defensive holding as clear as day.
Yeah, we're upset about that. You're 4-5. Should be more upset about the whole totality of the season, not just beating BYU in a lost cause at this point. That is a bad look at this one because I didn't see the final play. So if it was one of those egregious ones like the Rams got to the Super Bowl over the Saints, I understand. But if it was a true penalty here and he's writing that, stop the madness, man. Sore loser.
It was a true penalty. Maybe worry about why your offense was blanked in the second half and not what that defensive holding call led to. More around CFB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's round out the rest of our Saturday slate in week number 11, the second Saturday in November of this college football season. Donnie, it was difficult for Florida on Saturday early when DJ Lagway was ruled out and the Yale transfer Aiden Warner was the guy to get it going offensively against Texas. The Longhorns took advantage and make a statement in Austin at home. A game Texas and frankly Quinn Ewers needed. They blow out the Gators 49-17, covering as a 21.5 point home favorite. Penn State expected to win a football game. Darn good. As an underdog, we know that's a different story. They beat Washington in a whiteout in primetime, 35-6, covering as a 12.5 point home favorite. And just when you think things can't get worse for Florida State, they do. They get absolutely hammered in South Bend, 52-3 by Notre Dame. They were a 24.5 point pregame dog. No issue for the Irish covering that number. Now, Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish look darn good outside of playing MAC teams, but Mike Norvell and Florida State in a tailspin, DRS. 1-9 after a 13-1 season a year ago. It is on track to be the second worst year-over-year drop-off and decline in the history of college football since 1960.
Like, you'd have to think, do they even have a recruiting class coming in? Like, is this the time where, like, everybody can make their dreams come true? If there's one stars in high school, like, there's so many jobs open at Florida State because nobody wants to go there. This is a team in tragic turmoil where I guess the only way you can sit in somebody's living room now is, I made a call to boosters. If you want to play quarterback here, I got $20 million cash I'll deliver you next year because there is no talent on that football team and no direction. There's two ways to change it. As I said, number one is get your boosters to pony up to give everybody $5 million to come there in hopes they want to play. Or number two, fire that head football coach and hire a guy like Deion Sanders to reinvigorate life in his alma mater. Kids will buy back in. But you're right about this.
Yeah.
I can't ever think of a state institution football team like Florida State. Yes, you're going to have down years. Mike Norvell has already had losing football seasons. But in games where it's one victory and you're getting blown out every single game, that's unheard of at Florida State. And I guess Bobby Bowden from the mid-70s all the way up into the 2000s, never having losing seasons. Yes, you're not supposed to do that. That's an anomaly. That's how great it was. But you're supposed to hand the torch over and at least play competent football because every year Florida State should have 6-7 automatic victories, let alone bowl season on the agenda. This is one of the most historic, embarrassing efforts. And as a Miami fan, I love to see it.
So they had not, that being Florida State, lost more than seven games in a regular season since 1975, the year before Bobby Bowden took over that program in Tallahassee. A lot of changes yesterday to the coaching staff under Norvell, including the firing of his offensive coordinator, Alex Atkins. That'll fix it. Boise State, a win on Saturday on the blue turf, but Nevada covers as a 23.5 point underdog. DRS, you wanted the Broncos to let Ashton Jeanty keep the Heisman campaign afloat. 34 carries, 209, three touchdowns. I think he's back in the Heisman race.
He's back in the Heisman race when, Ben, he should be leading the Heisman race. There's one special night where he could add 500-plus yards rushing, and nobody would be able to take the Heisman away as long as Boise State continue to win any rush for good performances of plus one, $1.50 or more, and multiple touchdowns. I think they let that one slip away, but we still have a lot of football left to play where somebody gets hurt, some team doesn't win. You have a magical night on that blue turf. You can get back in it.
No doubt about it, DRS. And speaking of the Heisman Trophy frontrunners, Travis Hunter is that right now for Colorado. And one of the main reasons why, The Buffs could be a college football playoff team. I am not kidding. Listen, I was critical of Colorado in the offseason and early on against North Dakota State and Nebraska when they got beat big in Lincoln. It seemed like the same issues that the Buffs were facing in the first year with Deion Sanders. Hats off and all the credit in the world to Deion Sanders and his coaching staff and the talent on display. They have improved each and every week, and it has been tremendous. Colorado hammers Texas Tech on the road, covering as a 4.5-point favorite, winning by 2 touchdowns. Travis Hunter near 100 receiving yards once again. And Shador Sanders, pretty clean with the football against the Red Raiders. But CU defensively stands out to me. Regardless, Donnie, the overall point being, Colorado is now the favorite to win the Big 12 because CU controls its destiny to a Big 12 championship game, even in front of undefeated BYU by a half dollar at a plus 135 price. The Buffs are going to play more than likely in the Big 12 title game, and Colorado has a legitimate opportunity and a good one and a favorable path to be a college football playoff team in 2024.
Be big ratings, too. And also, shout out Warren Sapp, first-time coach there, takes over that defensive line, Ben. Down a couple guys. They were absolutely dominant in the pass rush game here. So it's one of those defenses that used to just be able to run over. Not so much anymore. The offense playing much better. Travis Hunter, yes, he's a sensational player. Probably will end up winning the Heisman. But I got another thing from this football game, Ben. Texas Tech, I love pageantry, college football, you know this. Big games, big environments, so much fun. That Texas Tech Red Raiders crowd was ready. But I was introduced to the tortillas and, you know, you're able to throw in the stands, which is cool. You start the game, the Big Five in Philadelphia, a lot of times used to play at the Palestra. The first basket that's scored by either team, they rain down streamers on the court. It's understandable. You stop the game, but they don't rain streamers down the entire game. How could you have it possible in college football where you're allowed to just at like kickoffs, punt returns, referees, sidelines, getting blasted by these tortillas while you're playing the football game? Why is that okay in college football? Like, did I miss something here?
Part of the tradition. Why can you have a live tiger on the sideline in Baton Rouge?
But I mean, he's not tackling. He's not hitting players. You know what I mean? Like you watch the kickoffs in that game. Like, you were being pounded by tortillas, and nobody seemed to give it. Like, if you were in the Orange Bowl, Miami, like, if imagine if you were out to throw oranges the entire game. It's like, hey, that's just the atmosphere here.
Yeah, listen, I agree, right? I think it's a little bit outlandish. And you certainly are exposing players to being in a chippy environment where fans can project and hurl things down on the field. Seems strange. Travis Hunter put a tortilla in his pants, and Colorado leaves Lubbock with the last laugh. I guess at the end, if you win the football games, they stop throwing tortillas. Meanwhile, Army remains unbeaten. Bryson Daly was back. And DRS, when he had been dealing with an injury, normally you ease him back in. 36 carries for a buck 53 at the quarterback spot. Monday Night Football preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One final game of the NFL Week 10 slate here to kick off the second half of this season on a Monday night inside SoFi Stadium out in Los Angeles. It's the Rams playing host to the Miami Dolphins. 2.5-point spread now in favor of LA. It was closer to a point and a hook earlier this week. Over under at 48.5, expecting two offenses to fill it up on this Monday night. DRS, you see the numbers there. Where do you start your handicap for the Monday night finale of week number 10?
I'm towards the Rams because you're taking a look at two football teams. And by the way, maybe you sort of upgrade the loss for the Dolphins going up against the Cardinals. You can't lose that game. You lost it close to the Cardinals. That's embarrassing. Cardinals look like they're a decent football team right now. But at the same time, you have one team with the Rams with a victory, Ben, gets them to over 500, and you have right in the crosshairs that NFC West, which you can actually win. The Miami Dolphins, I don't think they're going anywhere this season. And that was a close loss, but a defeating loss where you figure you win that game, you can catapult yourselves, and it looks like all for naught. But do I expect Tua Tagovailoa to have a solid game tonight? Do I expect Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to show up on the outside? Yes, I do. But if I'm giving the nod, I look at that line. It's a little bit disrespectful towards the Rams. They're the home team. I think they're the better team and the better defense. Matthew Stafford has a pretty good night tonight. I think they pick up the victory, and I think the right side tonight is on those Rams at home.
Yeah, DRS, I would have to agree. The Rams' defense getting healthier and improving. The offensive line has been shored up. And we didn't see a lot of Puka Nacua last week against Seattle because he was ejected for a phantom punch early in the opening half. And then it was all Cooper Kupp. You would think with both guys fully healthy, like we saw a little bit on that short week Thursday night game against Minnesota, that LA could be very potent against the Dolphins defense that has been lackluster this year. They did allow 30 points last week to Buffalo. And Donnie, that's really kind of where you start for Miami. This is a 2-6 football team. That, of course, the main story this year for the Finns has been the health and the status of Tua Tagovailoa. And there is no doubt that with Tua back in the lineup, this Dolphins team is dramatically better. The offense looks really good. They had not scored more than 20 points until week number 8 and Tua's return. They had scored 27 in two consecutive weeks. The offense is so much better. Tua has thrown for at least 230. He has played clean football, 3 total touchdowns in his 2 games since returning off the IR. But Donnie, it's also coming 2 losses now, where the Dolphins season is on the brink at 2-6, and they have been the underdog in both of those games. Or they were the favorite, actually, slightly against Arizona, but the underdog last week against Buffalo, they covered okay. They did not win outright. And so that's the final point I want to make toward the trend. Miami with Mike McDaniel, since he became the head coach in South Florida in 2022. An underdog 18 times. 7-11 against the spread. Not great. But what's even more damning for this Dolphins team that is trying to hold on to a sliver of hope that maybe just maybe there's an outside shot of a wild card berth. They are just 3-14 straight up as an underdog. It is the second fewest wins outright for any team in the NFL that has been booked as an underdog double-digit times in the last 2.5 years. And really, that's the story for Miami. Not keep the game close and look better, but actually win one outright.
Yeah, get some defensive stops. That's what you're looking for, because the issue not with the Miami Dolphins is they're healthy now. Wide receivers are healthy. Running backs are healthy. Offensive line is decent. Tua Tagovailoa healthy. Back-to-back games where you tell me right now, Ben, I'm an NFL coach. All right, you don't know the final score, but I'll tell you, you scored 27 in back-to-back games. You're no worse than 1-1, and you're probably 2-0, and the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa back, zeros on the board. And you take a look at those games versus the Cardinals, which is a loss. It's always like you fought the Bills right up to the end. What a pass. Like a 60-yarder to end that game. You were right in that to the end. But those are demoralizing losses where, yes, they're football players. They play for a paycheck. They're going to be ready to play tonight. But wouldn't you be more ready to play if you're 6-2 than 2-6 at this point? We can understand that. Yeah. The Rams know it's ahead of them. And quite frankly, so do the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins aren't making the playoffs, but we do have a clean environment. It's turf, 2 teams with some speed merchants on both sides here, good running backs, good quarterbacks, and good wide receivers. We should be getting points tonight. We're not on a Thursday night where I usually say, like, hey, you know what? Quick week here, banged up players. And Puka Nacua, who was dealing with that knee injury, probably almost good for him getting thrown out early in that game because he didn't take that wear and tear. We should be looking at some weapons tonight to get after it.
3 straight wins for LA. They have covered in the last 2. Of course, they resurrected their season with 2 wins in a 5-day span that ended with that short week game against Minnesota. They had some extended time off last week. They beat Seattle on the road in overtime, despite not a great offensive effort. They hold on to win. They picked off Geno Smith 3 times, and now more extended rest to get even healthier. We'll continue to preview Monday Night Football when our 3rd and final hour starts up next here on TEL.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number 1 checkout on the planet. and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.